Genesis chapter 7. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and all creatures that moved along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished: birds, livestock, wild animals, all creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out: men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days.
Chapter 8. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The waters receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven. And it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, There, in its beak, was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and, taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease."
Please leave your Bibles open there. Let's pray. Father God, as we approach these verses, Lord, as we reflect on this serious judgment that you have made against sin, Lord, we pray that you would help us be reminded of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, guide us as we reflect on these words, Lord, and guide us, Lord, that we might understand that we serve and worship a living God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We know that we're told not to be anxious, but there are times when it's very hard. There are times when it's really hard not to be anxious, when we're facing circumstances that are completely outside of our control. It can be hard not to be anxious or concerned or even worried when every time it feels as though we're getting ahead, we seem to have the rug pulled right out from under us. And it can be easy to forget that our loving Heavenly Father is in control of all things and that He is working through whatever circumstances we're going through for our good and for His glory. And the famous reformer, Martin Luther, he knew this battle all too well. Now, just in case some aren't familiar with Martin Luther, he's the one who was famous for nailing the 95 Theses, a list of things that were wrong with Catholicism at the time. And he nailed that to the door of the Wittenberg Church on the 31st of October, 1517. If you recognize that date, no, it's not Halloween, that's Reformation Day. And when he did so, that put him at odds with the Roman Catholic Church, and it also kicked off the German Reformation. Luther was known for being someone who was quite upbeat, very positive, a very big character. But there were times when he also got down, times when he was really struggling. Despite the certain hope that Luther had in Jesus, he was still someone who would have times when he was really low. Sometimes he'd get so low that his friends would even say, "Look, you have to get away, Luther. You have to go and have a break." And on one of those occasions, he did. And he came back more miserable than ever. And so his wife, Katie von Boren, well, she came up with a plan. She got herself and their children all dressed in black. And while Luther was sitting quietly in his study, his wife and his children quietly crept in. And when he looked up and saw them all in black, he said, "Who is dead?" And Katie replied, "Have you not heard that God is dead, my husband, Martin Luther? Martin Luther would never be in such a state of mind if he had a living God to serve." When he heard those words, well, he reportedly burst out into a big belly laugh and said, "Katie, you're a wise woman. I've been acting as if God was dead, and I'll do so no more. Go and take off your black clothes." Think functionally, not literally, but functionally, there are times when we all act as though God is dead. Times when the hardships and struggles that we are facing feel so big that we forget that we are serving a living God. Times when we lie awake in our beds and all the problems that are probably little during the day seem so big that it doesn't feel like there is any way out. But as we look at today's passage, we will see that we can trust God beyond what we can see and what we understand. Because God is perfectly holy and perfectly just, and he always does what he says he's going to do. Now, the chapters we're looking at today are often in kids' talks, in storybooks, Bibles, and things like that. They're often desensitized. But these chapters tell the story of one of the most serious judgments that God has made on mankind. In fact, it is the most serious judgment that God has made on mankind since he judged Adam and Eve for their sin. And yet, as I spent the week studying these chapters, I was struck by God's faithfulness to his word and his desire to show mercy rather than to condemn people to eternal judgment. Now, the first point that today's passage is teaching us is that God is holy and just, and so he cannot ignore sin forever. Back in chapter 4, we saw God's very intense but right judgment on mankind. God saw that every inclination of the thoughts of the hearts of the people were only evil all of the time. That's a shocking indictment, isn't it? When God saw that, he was grieved and his heart was filled with pain. Humanity was enjoying all the blessings that God had given them. They were enjoying his creation. They were getting married. They were having families. They were building homes for themselves. They were learning and developing all sorts of new skills and technologies. They were building a society, but they were trying to do it without God. Luke chapter 17, verse 27 says, "People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all." They were living as though everything would go on the same old way forever. Does that sound familiar to us? It doesn't sound all that different to the times we're living in. I'm sure we all know people who believe that God's completely irrelevant to their lives and who are living as though the judgment that God has promised will never come. But the account of the flood is one more warning that God has given in his word, one more warning of what he will do when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead. In chapter 6, God described the world as being filled with violence. And it really is the same today. There's injustice, oppression, abuse, wars and violence all around the world today. And because God is holy and just, he cannot allow this sin to go unpunished forever. Now, years ago, when my younger brother first got his license. He was driving his very first car, and he was driving it through a roundabout not very far away from our house, when all of a sudden a car came speeding up, an unregistered car went speeding up, smashed into his car, and then kept driving off. His car was written off, totally destroyed in that accident, and all he could do was walk home in disbelief. Now, if something like that happened to any of us, we would want that person to be punished. We would want God to make things right. And yet, when we are speeding, when we've done something or said something that is wrong, that is against God's will, we don't want anyone else to find out. We try and hide our sin. But God is holy and just, and he cannot ignore our sins or the sins of those around us forever. And yet, even as God was preparing to wipe out humanity through the flood, there is incredible grace and mercy being shown to those who are about to perish. For somewhere between, it's believed somewhere between 20 and 40 years that it took Noah to build the ark. For that whole time, the people who perished were given an opportunity to turn from their sins and repent, to call on God for mercy. For all of that time, this giant boat, this massive ark, stood as a testimony of what God was about to do. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, it says, God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it actually refers to Noah as a preacher of righteousness. For somewhere between 20 to 40 years, Noah warned the people around him of what God was about to do. He warned them so that they would have a chance to turn from what they're doing and to repent. But despite all of those opportunities that God had given him, those living before the flood, only Noah and his family believed God's word and were saved from God's judgment. God is holy and just, and so he cannot ignore sin forever. A second point from today's passage that it's teaching us is that God is always faithful to his word. If God says he's going to do something, he always does it. Now, if we were to put ourselves in Noah's shoes for a moment and think what it would have been like to have God tell us to build this huge boat out in the desert without any sign of a flood, that takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? To spend 20 to 40 years of your life working on this project without any tangible, visible evidence that the flood is going to take place. But Noah was able to trust what God had told him to do because he trusted that God is always faithful to his word. You can imagine that while they were building the ark, Noah and his family would have had to have made certain day-to-day sacrifices. They were spending so much of their time building this huge ark with obviously very basic tools that they wouldn't have been able to spend a lot of time growing crops and building a lives for themselves. But they kept on working because Noah knew that God would do exactly what he said he would do. Because whatever God says he's going to do, he always does it. Now, when the time came, it was God who brought the animals to the ark. In chapter 7, verse 9, it says that male and female came to Noah and entered the ark. There was no way that Noah and his family would be able to wrangle all of those animals into the boat. Sometimes it's hard enough just to get sheep to go through a gate. Imagine all of those animals. And so as the springs of the deep, so the waters under the ground began to flow up, and the rain began to come down for 40 days and 40 nights, Noah and his family entered the ark. And we read in verse 15 that it was God who closed the door. And as the waters rose, it's not too hard to imagine that there would have been people trying to cling to the side of the ark as it rose out of the water. They were probably banging on the door of the ark, pleading with Noah to let them in. But it was too late. The judgment that God had warned would take place was taking place. But inside the ark, Noah and his family were now more obviously than ever before completely dependent on God. As far as we know, the ark was not designed with any way to steer it, which means that for the whole time they're in the ark, they were completely dependent on God to guide it and keep it safe. There's no sense in which Noah or his family are able to pat themselves on the back for a job well done and consider them having been saved because of what they've done. It was God who closed the door and sealed it shut, and it was God who guided the ark through the no doubt treacherous floodwaters until it eventually landed on dry ground. Chapter 8, verse 1 says that God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. God remembered his word, as he always does, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. For somewhere between 20 to 40 years, Noah trusted God's word and he built the ark. And if you work out all of those dates, it was for 370 days, just over a year, that Noah and his family were inside the ark, trusting that God would keep them safe, that he would deliver them onto dry ground. And Noah trusted God for all of those years because he worshipped and served the living God who always does exactly what he says he's going to do. Today's passage is one that many people struggle with because they find it hard to understand how God could judge with such finality. Despite giving the account of the most serious judgment that God has made on sin since the fall, these verses also show us the patience and the grace that God showed to those who rejected him and who ultimately perished because they refused to believe. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Just as God waited all of those years to judge humanity in order to give the people an opportunity to repent, God is waiting patiently for the day of judgment in order to give our neighbors, some of our family members, some of our friends, an opportunity to trust in him. And just like Noah, if we have faith in Jesus, we have been given a responsibility to warn those who don't yet know Jesus that God's judgment is coming. God is always true to his word, and so he will do exactly what he said he will do. He sent Jesus to die the death that we deserve and to be raised to life as a sign of the eternal hope to come for those who trust in him. And he will return to judge the living and the dead, just like in the days of Noah. Those who refuse to acknowledge the truth of God's word, who refuse to come to him for mercy, they will be washed away. Noah worshipped and served the living God, who is always holy and just, and who is always faithful to his word. Noah lived as a stranger and a foreigner. He lived in a completely different way to the society that he was in, and he was no doubt thought to be a fool. But God showed those who rejected Noah's message that it wasn't Noah who was the one being foolish. It's easy for us to let the worries of our lives get us down. It's easy for us to feel as though every time we're getting ahead, it's one step forward and three steps backwards. It's easy for us to get discouraged when it feels like every time we share the good news of Jesus, no one is listening. Just think about how Noah felt. We need to remember we serve the living God, the one who is always faithful to his promises, the one who promised to bless all the nations of the earth through Abraham, the one who promised David that he would have a descendant who would reign on the throne forever, and the one who has fulfilled those promises and many, many more when he sent his son. Today's passage is warning anyone who does not have faith in Jesus that God is true to his word and that he will judge everyone who refuses to accept his message of salvation. And so unless you have faith in Jesus as your one and only way of salvation, it is only God's patience keeping you from the judgment that will come when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead. For those with faith in Jesus, today's passage is reminding us that God is always faithful to his promises, that he is always working all things together for his glory and for our good. So we don't need to be anxious about anything, because we can take our worries and our fears to him in prayer, the one who actually controls our circumstances. And as we hand our burdens over to the living God, Philippians reminds us the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, having reflected on these very serious chapters, Lord, we pray for our loved ones. We pray for our friends. We pray for our neighbours who don't know you. Lord, we pray that you would work in their hearts, Lord. We pray that you would bring them to you. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone who hears this message, Lord, who does not yet know you, Lord, we pray that you would bring them to you, Lord. Bring them into a saving faith in you. Lord, we thank you that you are always faithful to your promises. We thank you that you will one day make all the wrongs in this world right. Lord, we pray that you would help us to keep trusting you, keep our hearts safe and close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.